Today on Real Radio.
When all else fails, verses 4 through 7, rest. We remember our God is all-knowing. Number 2, we rest. Our God is in all places. Our God's everywhere, omnipresent, everywhere. The Hubble telescope announces God's engineering. The electron microscope looking inside of a human body announces God's engineering. It's awesome. Remember this and rest in this. Our God is in all places.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 12 begins with another one of Messiah's hard sayings. It's a passage on fearing God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When All Else Fails.
He says, whatever's been spoken in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Now watch this, and I don't want to belabor this. I don't have to belabor this. Have we ever said things in secret to somebody else that we ought not to have said? Don't lie in church. God is here. You have and I have. It's terrible to say it. When we're done talking about somebody to somebody else, hopefully that somebody else that we were just talking about leaves the room blessed and excited and more honored about the person we were talking about. Did you know, for example, I'll brag about somebody right now that I just am impressed with his walk, and I was with him this week. You know Tony Perkins, he's been here a few times, president of the Family Research Council. You know that guy does not sleep past 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you know that guy? You can see him running out on the Washington Mall. He's disciplined physically, he's disciplined spiritually, he reads X amount of the Bible every, he's like a robot. And that's, you say, yeah, but he's an ex-Marine, that's why. You know what? He was a Christian before he was a Marine. And I love that. And I look at that. Listen, when we get done talking about somebody, it should be something like that. Hey, do you know Susie? Well, Susie, you can't find her not loving somebody. She's just loving on everybody. We need to be like that. Jesus said concerning everyone in the end. What? Jesus said in the end, attention, please. Announcement. Can you imagine? You say, Jack, this is terrifying me. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? And if you ask the Lord to forgive you, he removes those things from us. Hallelujah. Don't conceal. The whole push is don't hide. Don't conceal these things. Take them to the Lord. He knows our motives. He's actually inviting the audience that he's speaking to by this truth. It is a doctrinal, biblical truth to come clean. Come on out. Come clean. Bring it to the surface. We could say, take off the mask. Jesus said it this way. Interesting. You would not normally connect this verse, but it is absolutely true nonetheless. It's Matthew 16:25. Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it of a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what profit would there be if a man would give it in exchange for his soul? What is he saying? If we put on this show to gain the approval of man, and in the end we are found to be untrue or hypocrites, we have exalted our own perception of people. That we might look good in front of somebody. And we've prostituted our own lives to gain momentary acceptance. Jesus said that's called saving your life. Governing it yourself, protecting it for yourself, living it for yourself. And in the end, you'll lose it. But he says if you take off the mask, are you with me? If you come clean on this, if you bring it out in front of the open, you lose your life, then you'll find it. And when you see this, when we see this, we will be humble people because we will be saying, you know what? There go I, but for the what? Grace of God. See, all of a sudden, we realize that we're on the same plane. We're in the same field. We are humans lost without God, but as Christians, we are saved, found, given life in Him. Point number two this morning is this. Christian, when all else fails, verses 4-7, rest. We remember our God is all-knowing. Number two, we rest. Our God is in all places. Our God's everywhere, omnipresent. Our God is everywhere. The attribute of God is that He's everywhere. That's an amazing thing that we have to take by faith. We can't feel it, see it, understand that, but think for a moment, isn't that evidence of God's presence? In my opinion, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. The Hubble telescope announces God's engineering. The electron microscope looking inside of a human body announces God's engineering. It's awesome. Remember this and rest in this. Our God is in all places. Voltaire. You guys, have you ever read anything of Voltaire? Here's an interesting guy, Voltaire. He died. He drank himself to death. He was a mess. But Voltaire was an odd genius. I mean, he was a perverse, weird guy. He mocked God, claimed he didn't believe in God. But then Voltaire said this. He says, I cannot imagine how the clockwork of the universe can exist without a clockmaker. That's a powerful statement. There's evidence everywhere that God exists. Jesus is making this announcement. And it's easy for us in a classroom, by the way, or for right now to say, yes, yes, I believe that God exists. But Christian, rest in this fact. Rest in this fact that He's in all places and He's there in suffering and He's in our suffering. Listen to what Jesus says, verses 4-5. He says, and I say to you, notice who He's talking to. My friends, will you circle that? You say, Jack, I don't write in my Bible. Well, today's a great day to start. Circle my friends. Who? What? Jesus is saying, look, it's written in red. My friends. This is the voice of Jesus Christ. Written in red. My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more or that is no more power that they can do anything else. Verse 5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Jesus is not saying that the Father is up in heaven with fangs and a fly swatter waiting to knock you out. Jesus is announcing that God has absolute authority and He has the final word. And that hypocrisy will lead a person to total destruction. That God's the final judge. He says, my friends, in the midst of such powerful, convicting statements, please mark it. And I pray that you grab this. You say, oh, that's so terrifying. Notice he says, my friends. He doesn't want you and I to be in that lot of missing what's called the fear of the Lord. He wants us to be in awe. The word does not mean to be afraid. I told you before, when I was a little kid growing up, when I was really terrified about something. You know, there's the word scared and there's the word afraid. I would always say, I'm a scared. That's super terrified, I guess. To be in awe, it's not the fear of, like roller coasters, I think were made by Satan. That is wrong. That's the wrong kind. That kind of fear is not what we're talking about. The fear of the Lord is a reverential, awe-inspiring wonderment. I'm trying to think of just on earth, the things that have grabbed my attention where you just sit there and kind of drool in awe. The Grand Canyon. You ever been there? I remember my brother took me there for the first time. He blindfolded me with his hand, walked me up to the edge. Because, you know, you can't see a thing when you're driving up to it. It's a bunch of trees and stuff. And we pull up there. He goes, okay. All right, look. And it looked fake. That is one gigantic hole. And it looked fake. It took me so long to even begin to realize, man, it's X amount of miles that way and this way and deep. And The second thing I remember just being mesmerized, that's a good word, by, oh, wow, was to be behind the waterfall of Niagara. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? And you get to go behind the falls. Isn't that weird? You go down to the ground, go underneath the river, and then come out and look through a hole, a big hole, it's a cave, and you're watching about 10, 20 feet away from you, you're watching the backside of the waterfall go down. And I got to tell you, it was a weird feeling. You just stand there in shock, kind of. It's like, what? That's the slight hint of the awe that you and I should be regarding the Lord. And do you realize, I'm going to confess this for you and I. I don't think we have that awe. I think we're too distracted by all kinds of other things that's going on that awe us instead. The angels could go to the World Series, maybe. What? Or did you see how fast that airplane went by? Or that we let things woo us that don't even matter. But to gaze into the awesomeness of God, we don't get it almost, you know? Well, listen, suffering. None of us sign up for suffering. We don't want it. But Jesus is in the midst of all these things. What should the believer take out of verses 4 and 5? God is all-powerful. In the midst of all these things, we should be in awe of him, because if we are in awe of him, we will fight away. We will seek to crucify hypocrisy in our lives, because you know what? Hypocrisy, in a sense, sticks out the chest in the presence of God. Hypocrisy says, God and I are buddies. You cannot be a buddy with God. You see, Jackie says friends. This is a holy thing. Jesus invites us and calls us friends. It's not some sort of backslapping contest. This is a serious but holy and precious thing. Jesus says, you're my friends. I call you friends. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge, listen, of the Holy One is understanding. The more you and I understand and read and ask God to show us the meaning of the Bible, God's word to us, our awe meter goes up. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the habitations of the world stand in awe of him. By the way, Psalm 33 is an announcement of the millennial kingdom of Christ. That's not happening yet. It's going to happen. Can you imagine? That's going to be awesome. The world. In fact, doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah, the trees of the field will clap their hand? You see, that's silly. Trees don't have hands. Their leaves. Have you ever heard a wind blow through the trees and it rustles? Rustles? Is that the right word? When it blows like that? The Bible says when Christ returns, the trees are going to clap their hands. They're going to just... The Bible says this ought to be great for California and Nevada, Arizona. It says the deserts will bloom and blossom when Christ returns. What else will happen? When Christ returns and his kingdom is established, the earth will stand in awe of him. That's going to be amazing. Here's a cool little reminder of that. When Moses encountered the Lord, when Moses there hid his face from the Lord, Exodus 3:5 says, God spoke to him and said, do not come any closer, Moses. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moses was God's friend. But God says, Moses, I am awesome. You can't come any closer, Moses. Not in that body, not in this world. You can't come any closer than that. Stay there. You ever think about him like that? Lord, you are so amazing. You are so awesome. In the midst of suffering, he's there. Are you a Christian this morning? Don't jump up and down. Don't raise your hand. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you struggling? Are you suffering under something? Anything that's got your attention? God knows. You see, if he knows, what, he's going to do something about it. He is. But who am I? Who are we to tell him what to do about it? Well, now, God, I got this situation. I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. That's ignorance. That's not understanding him. And that's certainly not being in awe of him. And I know that's easy to say right now, while I'm relatively healthy standing here. You know, people, when we're sick, we tend to call the shots. Have you noticed when someone's really sick, they don't call any shots? Have you noticed that? When we're kind of uncomfortable, I want this, I want that, bring me some soap, close the window. We are a nuisance, man. You know what? I wish you were feeling better or die, one or the other. You're driving me nuts. When we're kind of wounded, sick, we're a real pain. But have you ever been around when someone's dying? Believe me, they're not saying, open the window, I want soup. Oh no, they're not saying much. All that's us passed away. They're getting ready to meet their God. It's a holy thing. The flesh is waning. The spirit is increasing. In the midst of suffering, he's there. He's promised to be there. He cannot go back on his word. And I don't care how you and I feel. I don't feel him with me in my suffering. He has vowed to be there, believer. He's with you. And he's speaking to us. John Knox said, great word, a man with God is always in the majority. One of the things about suffering is that you feel alone. Don't you feel alone when you're suffering? Oh, that someone was with me suffering. I could relate. They could relate to me. I could relate to them. That's why those of you, I tell you what, I never want a doctor who's never suffered. They're the worst doctors. I don't want a nurse who's never suffered. Oh, what's a man? What's wrong with you? Roll over. I'm going to give you a shot. But when a nurse or a doctor has suffered, what's the word? They are what? They're compassionate. It helps when the nurse comes in and says, Jack, you're not going to want this. This is really going to hurt. I'm going to pray for you while I do this. Oh, man. But when they come in the room and say, yeah, well, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. Let me tell you something right now. If a doctor tells you it's going to be a little uncomfortable, you better pray hard. Compassion. Our God's compassionate in the midst of suffering. Be in awe of him. I believe, I hope I'm wrong, but if I understand the Bible right, if the world is going the way that it's going, we need to pray every day more and more, Lord Jesus, come back today. Because do you realize the consequences? If he doesn't come back soon, we could very well die for our faith in the next 5, 10, 15, 25 years. Our children, our grandchildren. The Bible speaks about a time when there'll be persecution going on around the world. You say, but Pastor Jack, isn't the rapture going to happen? We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. I hope it happens right now. But what if it doesn't? Are you ready to die for Christ? He will be there in the suffering. He'll be there. Rest. Verse 6. He's in all places, Christian, so we can rest. He's there in the pain. Are not five sparrows, note this, church, watch this. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Be careful, church, listen, the answer is yes and no at the same time. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Yes, the answer is yes and no. They actually sold, watch this, they sold for sacrifice for the offerings and for food. They, for 1/4, what we'll say pence or farthing, for 1/4 you got 2 sparrows. For a half, you got 5. You say, what kind of math is that? Watch. For 1/4 of a farthing, you got 2 sparrows. Well, who would eat a sparrow? This is the extreme poor. Jesus is speaking about the extreme poor. I mean, this is worse than buffalo wings, you know? If you lay down 1/4 farthing, you get 2 sparrows. Jesus said, are not 5 bought for half? No. Technically, you get four. You pay for four of them. So valueless were they, sparrows, that in the culture of Jesus Christ, they threw in the fifth one for free. They were considered such nothing, little things to eat. Can you imagine taking a sparrow and dipping them in sparrow dipping sauce? It's just bones. So a quarter farthing, you get two. For a half, you get five. With six, you get egg roll. I'm kidding. No, but anyway, five. The announcement is sparrows, viewed so common among men, barely worth a thing, God cares. Church, listen, God cares for the little birds. You say, well, that's amazing. But why do you and I are so much easier prone to embrace the fact that he loves all the little animals and he loves Bambi and he loves all the little birdies and all that stuff, but we doubt his love for us? What's wrong with us? Did you know we're insulting God when we do that? Yes, he loves the birds. He doesn't love the birds more than us. We're crazy. We're crazy people. Humans, we wind up sacrificing everything. I don't mean you and I, but people, humans, strap themselves to a boat and ram into a freighter trying to save a whale. God loves you more.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When All Else Fails. A look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 12, part of our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, an important date in our nation's history is fast approaching, and there's something happening here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And even if you're not in the Southern California area, you can still be a part of it. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it.
That's right, Mike. We have got an amazing event that actually takes place here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills annually, and that is our September 11th memorial service. It has been a powerful evening. We have had guest speakers such as Congressman Bob McEwen and Brigitte Gabriel, and in fact, Brigitte Gabriel will be back with us. Many of you would recognize her name from CNN or BBC or Fox News. And so what we're doing, Mike, is that we're encouraging all of you who are hearing this invitation. I want you to take it, receive it, please, from me as a personal invitation to go to hischannel.com, hischannel.com on September 11th. At 7 o'clock in the evening, California time, Pacific time. And you will be able to join us live, no matter where you are in the world. You can join us live and listen in, watch the program as it unfolds before us, a live broadcast to the world via internet television at hischannel.com. And you can go to our website, or you can find out more by visiting hischannel.com. Or, of course, realradioactive.org. But it is going to be a special night. Honestly, if you're hearing my voice right now, you need to join us at hischannel.com, September 11th, 7 o'clock in the evening Pacific time. And I'll be looking forward to seeing you in spirit right here at Calvary Chapel.
Okay, and we've provided a link to hischannel.com at our own realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.